a Notch Part 3 and the promises God has for his girls. Now, he has walked us through what we should change, how we should do things, fasting and praying. Remember fasting, praying, and giving? Those are big to God. We walked us through that. He said, watch your mouth. What is it you're speaking? Are you speaking death? Are you speaking life? Watch judging people. Do not be on your throne of judgment. That is not your place. That is God's place. He told us to get off our thrones of judgment. And number three, he said, also for us to give of ourselves. This week, we are going to talk about what he does after those things have happened. What he does while we're on those journeys to fixing our mouth and getting off of our throne of judgment and wherever it is we are. If you have been fasting, how many of you have been enjoying your fast? No, it's good. Honestly. Some of you are like, this stinks. Are you the grumbling and complaining faster? Remember we talked about that? Listen, there are moments. I'm telling you, I was doing really good. We were fasting. We're fasting sugar too. And I was the first part of the month, I'm like, oh, we're so good. No eating sugar. I'm totally fine. Dan, this is easy. You know, I'm telling my husband, do you know that I've been having dreams about M&Ms? Like, I will close my eyes and I will dream of like handfuls of M&Ms. And that is crazy. And so I just get up and say, get behind me, Satan. And I get up and pray, you know, but I mean, it seems like it's getting a little bit more intense now that we're getting to the end. But you only have what, 8 more days or something like that? How many more days are left in the month? I don't know. Not that good. Anyways, I take day by day. So, oh, hello. I do not like this thing. Okay. I'm moving it. I'm so not my mom. I don't need a table. Okay. So, this is what we're going to do. We are going to believe God that the rest of our fast is going to be enjoyable, okay? That we are going to believe God that we're going to be happy in our fast, that we're going to have joy in our fast, that we're going to have rest in our fast. How many of you would love that? Well, that's what he's promising us today. In Isaiah 58, turn with me to Isaiah 58 if you're there. And it says, the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. And you shall be like a well-watered garden, like a spring of water whose water does not fail. Woo. Really? Me? You? We can be that person? We can really get through life and do this the right way? Absolutely. He doesn't give us something in the word and not promise it to us. He doesn't just say things to say things. When God says something, I believe that the power comes out and it breaks forth into our lives, and we have now the opportunity to grab a hold of that promise and put it to practice. You know, many times we've talked about Proverbs 31, and some of you have been here for some of those teachings. We're going to get back into it probably this year. And you can read about Proverbs 31 woman and you can go, I am not her. I don't know who she is. And where did she come from? But you know what? The Lord gave a revelation to the women's ministry. And God said, it's not who is she and where did she come from. You actually are that woman. And when you begin to tap into who it is God has created us to be, let's read that verse and say, this is who I am. Okay, we're going to go back and read it again. I am going to be guided continually by God. And I am satisfied in my droughts. And I am strengthened in my bones. And I will be a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That's pretty intense, huh? A very different point of view. See, sometimes we read the word and we don't apply it to us, to my life. And where does this fit? Where do I fit into the word? And is God really speaking about me? Yes, he is. When he pinned it all down for us, he knew who you were, he knew what situation you were going to be in, and he knows that the word of God is life. And he knows that the word is what is going to be able to change you. Listen, you don't walk into this room and just change because you're here, because you ask God to come into your heart. You change as you begin to hear the word of God and as you become to be deeper and more intimate with him. He begins to mold and shape who we are as women. And it doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter what race or gender we are. God says, listen, I have your heart. And if I can keep your heart and you stay on a path with me, then I will continually guide you. This is not about living a perfect life. It's about serving a perfect God. And so, girls, you and I have an obligation to read the word and to apply it and begin to see ourselves in a new way. All right? So we're going to get into this. I want us to get right into it. Number one, we need to allow ourselves to follow his lead. We need to allow ourselves to follow his lead. And Isaiah 58 says, the Lord will guide you continually. That means always, never ending. That means he already knows. Remember Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts to prosper you and to give you a hope in a future. You see, God already knew when you were born. Now, no matter how we were created, whether it was because it was a one-night stand or because you were an accident, it does not matter to God. You are valuable to him. And your life counts, and it matters for the kingdom. So, no matter how we were created, he already knew that he was going to use us. And so this is what he's asking. He's saying, follow me. Sometimes I know I can be very stubborn. I have my plans. I'm a planner. I like to know what's happening and next. And being married to Dan, he's very spontaneous. And so I've had to really learn how to change the way I do life, because it's kind of like, I'm not kidding you, on our days off, he's like, let's drive across the country. I mean, and I'm like, why? Where are we going to be? What time are we going to be back? And where are we going? Where are we going to eat? What are we going to do? And he's like, oh my gosh, you're taking the fun out of everything. And so I have had to seriously learn how to just kind of go, okay, I'm not going to plan everything out. I'm going to have to, you know, let my heart just follow my husband and do what it is. And I have done it, girls, grumbling. I have done it very crabby. And then by the time we end up doing whatever adventure he has us on, I actually am like, that was actually awesome. Thank you for, like, you know, suggesting we do it. I would have never seen, you know, the living desert. I would have never seen, he takes us weird places. And all of a sudden I'm climbing rocks in the middle of somewhere, a Joshua tree. That's where he took us last time. And I'm just like, that was pretty cool. I've never been there. You know, and the kids loved it. And the pictures were amazing. And you see God's beauty. And honestly, if I were to just stick to my plan, follow my agenda, do what it is I know what I do, you know what I would do all day? I would work. I would work at home. I would do the dishes. I'd do the laundry. I wake up with lists in my head because they never go away. I wake up going, okay, I got to get the kids dressed. Got to get them bathed. I got to get their lunches going. I got to da da. Then my mom always calls me at the wrong time. And I'm like, why are you calling? I'm trying to get everybody out the door. You know, and it's just like, it just chaos, right? Chaos in your home. What if for a second you said, I'm going to lay down everything that I know that I have on my agenda, and I'm going to give it to you. And you're going to, you already know, so I'm going to tap into what it is you know. What is it you know, God? What is it you've got for my life? You know, we have been believing God, Dan and I, for a few things. For about, one was about 4 years we've been believing God for something, and the other one's been about a 3-year faith walk. And I've heard nothing. Have you ever been there? Like, seriously, are you there? Like, you talk to me about everything else, but not these two things. You know, and it's like, for me, I'm like ADD, hyper excited, you know, come on, God, let's do this. You know, and he's like, it's not time. It's not time. And that's all I ever hear. Not time. Not time. Be content. Shut up. Like, he tells me shut up. And because I believe God talks to us the way we talk. Do you ever notice that? He kind of has your personality. We are like God, right? We're little Christ, right? So, you know, he talks to me and he's like, stop. You're trying to tell me what you're doing. And now if you know my parents, I love them so much. They have plan 156, A and B and C and D. Yesterday I heard a new plan. Tomorrow I'll probably hear a new plan, because my parents' brain never stops. There is always something going on. They're going to do a new business. They're going to sell something else. They're going to do this and do that. And they're going to pay off everything. And they're going to, I'm just like, I'm now to the point where I'm like, you know, Luke's all, they have another plan. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And so I love that, though. And I think the Lord loves us to dream. And I think he loves us to plot. And I think he loves us because we begin to work those things out. And then what my parents do, and I've learned so much from them, they take those plans, and then they bring them to prayer in the morning. They get together in the morning, and they pray. They bring those plans to prayer. That's probably why they get a new plan, because the first plan was like, nope, that's not right, you know? So listen, God has you in mind. He has your kids in mind. He has your husband in mind. He has your family in mind. He knows where you're going to live. He knows how the bill is going to be paid. Nothing is too big for him. But so many times we start to make our own little plans. We start to put everybody in our world in a little box, and we tell them what it is they should be doing. And listen, I am so guilty of this. And the Lord has really been talking to me. And, you know, just last 2 nights ago, my son, he seems to be fine during the day, but then he wakes up in the night with allergies. And, of course, it's all night long. And I was laying in bed, and this verse was really going through my mind. And I said, okay, God, I don't know what to do for Ty. I'm sick of giving him Benadryl. It doesn't really help. And, you know, I don't want to drug my child. And it's not helping him. What is it that I can do to help him? And I told him, you're the healer. You're the one that knows what he needs. You're the one that knows what it is his body's fighting. And he said, you have not taught him yet to fight his allergies. And I go, oh. And he goes, you taught Micah to fight the twitching. You taught Micah to fight the eczema. You taught Chloe to fight the eczema. You taught them to fight for everything that it is that they had to rebuke off their bodies. But you have not taught Titus yet. And I go, oh, I'm so sorry. It was like, I almost wanted to run in his room and wake him up and be like, listen, I need to teach you something, you know? So pretty much just laid up all night and laid hands on him the whole night myself. But then when we woke up in the morning, I said, Ty, we need to talk. You're 5 now almost, and you can learn this. And you remember when Titus, when Micah would say, I am healed and the peace of God, I have the peace of God and God is healing me. And he said, yeah, Mom. And I go, do you like those allergies in the middle of the night? And he goes, no. And he goes, but I don't know how to fight them. And that's what he said to me. And I thought, all right, then I have the answer. But if we would have had that conversation would have never happened. Now Titus is rebuking the devil right before he goes to bed. He had a better night's sleep last night. And I'm telling you, it's just going to continue on, I know, because I've seen God work. But so many times we just live with what it is we live with, you know, and we just kind of put up with what we put up with. Instead of saying, what is it, God, that you've got? And I laid in bed that night going, where is it I'm going with Titus? What is it you need me to do as a mom? I've got to tap into that because I literally am out of options. We go to the doctors, there's nothing. We go here, they don't even know what's wrong because I take him during the day and he's fine. You know, it's like, could the doctor come to my house in the middle of the night? No. You know, so like, there are things that, you know, when you get to the point where you're going, okay, I get it. There's no one else that can answer this question. I believe God is going, good, now are you ready to follow me? Because I am continually telling you to follow me. He is continually guiding us, which is pretty cool. Sometimes he's telling us to do something, we're not listening. And I just love that he's always there, always working, always doing what he needs to do. We are not alone on this life quest. You are not alone. I know people have left you. I know things have happened. But listen, God will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. And if you put it in his hands and you trust him with it, he will continually guide you. Now, girls, that may mean that you need guidance like every 5 seconds, and that's okay. That's okay if you do what I did at that night. Okay, God, what is it I need to do? And just sit still and hear his voice. He may give you like the plan of a lifetime and you're going, why didn't I do this a long time ago? Maybe it's because there's so many loud things coming at us, we don't know how to follow the Lord. John 16:13 in the Amplified. Okay, I'm going to read it to you. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you in all truth, the whole truth, and the full truth. For he will not speak his own message. I love that. On his own authority, but he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father, and he will give you the message that has been given to him. He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come and that will happen in the future. Awesome. Pretty cool. We don't have to be in the dark about everything. He's saying right there, the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to come alongside of you, and he's going to lead you, and he's going to guide you, and he's going to show you what to do. You don't know what to do, you start praying in tongues. You don't know what to do, ask the Holy Spirit to come in and equip you. You don't know what to do, you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I'm scared, but I'm walking into this doctor's appointment, and I'm believing for good things. And yet, Holy Spirit is going with you, and he's walking with you, and he's taking every step with you. Listen, you are not alone. And he talks to the Father about you. He knows the next step and the next level. God sent us the Comforter here on earth. You do not have to follow God blind. He has given you a guide, and his name is the Holy Spirit. You say, what is the Holy Spirit? Oh, that's like a whole nother message. But let me just say this. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you need to get to know the Holy Spirit. Because I know that when I began to know the Holy Spirit intimately, and when I began speaking in tongues, you go, oh, that's cookie weird stuff. It could be, but it's actually pretty amazing because it's a supernatural language where then when you read your Bible, it just starts to jump off the pages. And when you, in your prayer time, when you don't know what to pray, you begin to say in the name of Jesus, that's praying in tongues. You go, that's weird. I know it's weird. But listen, what we don't understand is man. God created the supernatural, and he knows what he's doing. And there are supernatural things that had to be brought into existence. And I believe that your prayer life and your spiritual walk with God is deeper than our minds can ever understand. And God is saying, follow me down a path that maybe you don't understand. Get your prayer language, grab all your tools, and come with me. Because, daughter, I have something greater for you. You don't have to be blind walking down this. I am the one who will satisfy your soul. Point number two, he will satisfy you. Satisfy yourself in him. You know, it's so funny. Being on this fast has really, really been good because I have been unsatisfied. Like, every time I eat, especially when I was doing the no meat, because we did that for 10 days, and every time we ate, I was like, ugh, are you satisfied? And Dan's like, no. And I'm like, me neither. It's like, it was almost like, why even eat? Like, seriously, it just felt so like, blah. And I kept saying that for like a week. Man, after every single meal, I'm so unsatisfied. And I guess I was grumbling and complaining, right? But then I got in the car one morning and there was this new worship CD and my husband, he's so sweet. I was coming to girlfriends and he always cues things up like right where the song starts. So he will sit in the garage until the song is over in order to get it right to the point where it starts again because he's a musician and he can't stand starting a song in the middle of like musical notes or something. I don't know. It's weird, right? So last night I noticed that Dan was sitting in the car for a long time. I'm going, he must be listening to a song. Yeah, and sure enough, he did put a song in for me today. Yeah. So two Thursdays ago, I kept saying, you know, I'm just unsatisfied. I'm not happy with this. This is just, you know, and this song comes on. And the song was brand new, and it was called You Satisfy Me. You are my satisfaction in life. You are the one who makes every day worth it. And the Lord said, and there you go, and that's why you're unsatisfied, because you're denying your flesh, and you're allowing me to become the forefront of your satisfaction in life. And I thought, wow. And I just started to cry when I was coming to church, and I'm like, that's so cool, because I don't know if I would have ever gotten that revelation if I was eating meat, you know. But it's the little things that God knows that our hearts need him. So in verse 11 in Isaiah, it says, and satisfy your soul in drought. There's been many times, I know for you, because I talk to you and I hear your stories, you're in a drought. You're in a dry place. There's just not much going on. You're frustrated with people, and life has let you down, and things didn't go according to plan, you know, and maybe, like, I don't know, you just, it's so blah. Have you ever been there, blah? Like, you just really don't have, how's life? Good, you know, but it's not like, great, life is so great. And you're in this just, like, mediocre lack of life. And you're not living life. You're just surviving life. Somebody told me that the other day, and I thought, that was brilliant. I don't want to be a survivor of life. I want to live life because I have access to the life giver. Yes. And so when we are in our state of dryness, in our state of, like, you know, not doing much and not knowing where we're going, and life isn't happening the way it should, the Lord says that he will satisfy your soul in those times. Say, how is that? You know that song that, or that verse that says, joy comes in the morning. You know that you count at all joy through various trials. You know, you can read those verses and be like, oh yeah, through various trials. You don't even know what I'm going through. The drama that's hitting my home. The faith that I need to just even get through the day to get up out of bed. Listen, I do know. I've been there. I've been hit by depression. I was beat up by boyfriends. I thought I was going to die. I've had 2 abortions. I've come from the pit of hell and I've come back out of it. I am reconciled and redeemed by God. You're not talking to somebody who hasn't had a screwed up life, who hasn't done something dumb. I used to have a lying spirit on me. I know what it's like to not be able to even tell the truth. Listen, I'm telling you my junk because God turned my junk into my message. And in my he satisfies me in my drought. Listen, girls, there's nothing too big for our God. There's nothing you can't be redeemed from. And there's nothing too big. The devil is going to be louder than what God says. And in your dry times, and in those seasons of lack, and in those seasons when things just aren't happening the way we think they should happen, that's when you tap in to the one who gives life, to the one that brings prosperity, to the one that brings joy, to the one that refreshes our soul and restores our faith. Listen, there is no other way to the word, to God, but through the word of God. Get into your word, girls. Get into your word. He says, I will satisfy your soul in drought. What a beautiful promise. What a beautiful promise. Drought is lack of, dry, extended periods when a region receives lack of water supply. You know, it's pretty interesting that a drought, and he uses this word drought, a drought is lack of water. We just went through a drought here in California. They told me to turn off my water, and I was probably the only person that listened to them because all my neighbor's yards did not die, and mine did. And I completely lost all of my grass in that drought. and I'm still trying to get it back, and I'm still frustrated with the city every time I go in my backyard. I'm like, this is their fault. They made me turn the water off. But listen, in that drought, we had to use different resources. I started, like, taking the dishwater, you know, and saving it, and then going and watering my plants on the front porch. I started seeing water differently. I started seeing things differently. I started to resource things a little different than I did before. And I believe that in a drought, it just causes us to be better at what we do. I believe that in those times of lack and of maybe not attaining to what it is we think, we actually have to tap into the source giver a little more. We have to tap into him and say, all right, then I'm going to follow you because there's no other option here. You're going to tap into your water resource, and he says that he is the water of life. He is the one that gives life and brings life. And let's talk about that in verse John 4, 13 and 14. Turn there with me. Jesus answers and said to him, whoever drinks of this water will not thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. You might be in drought. You might be in lack. It might be frustrating. You may not know what the next step is, and you might be tired and weary, but God says, listen, if you will allow me to be your source in your lack, if you allow me to satisfy you in this weary and dark time, I will be the water that you will never thirst again. But that water that I shall give, that he shall give him, will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. See, God takes something that is dead and he brings it to life. He raises the dead to life. God restores what was so broken and brings it back to life. Listen, you may be a relationship that is completely dead right now for you, and you are believing God to move on. Move on. And God says, wait a second, aren't I big enough to fix that? Aren't I big enough to change a heart? If you can believe and that's my plan, then let's do this together. God is saying, maybe you've gotten a bad report and you just know, well, this is it. You know, they say, I've whatever it is that I have, and that's just what the doctors say. And God says, all right, but I can restore cells. I'm the one that created you. I can recreate cells. I can recreate bones. I can raise people to life. Hello. I am the one that brings from the dead to life. And when in a dry and a weary season, that is the best time to hear God's voice. That is the best time to be satisfied in that drought and say, oh, but I need you, Father God, because you are the water that will run over me and wash me, that will strengthen me and satisfy my heart and my brokenness, that you will cover my children in their lost and weary land. And listen, we have to stir ourselves back into faith. You may have nobody else doing it for you, but it's your job to do it because you have to tap in to the one that wants to give us life. Number three, allow him to be our strength. I've had many days, I don't know about you, when you're in bed and you're like, oh, I just could not get up right now. I love those days sometimes, and then I feel really guilty at the middle of the day when I've watched, like, you know, what is that called? Binging on Netflix, like when you, like, watch series after series. Mm-hmm. I do that. And then I'm like, wait, have I been with God yet? I'm so weak. I'm so weary. And Dan's like, well, get out of bed. You haven't even been with God. You know, like my husband, he always has to be in my ear about it. And I'm like, all right. And then I get up and I start to read my word and I start to pray in tongues. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. I just want to stay lazy. You know, mama needs a day off. All the kids are gone. Hallelujah. And the Lord says, stop. Listen, I'm your strength. And as I know that as I begin to pray, and as I begin to pray in tongues, and as I begin to ask God for the impossible, my faith starts to stir up my agility, and I start to get a little bit more energy, and I'm like, okay, good, now I could go to the store, because I shouldn't have even gone to the store after this. And I just begin to be strengthened in my physical man. But then my physical man follows the spiritual man. You see, it's sad when your physical man leads your spiritual man. That should not happen. Your spiritual man should always lead your physical, all right? You say, well, I don't get it. Listen, we are body, soul, and spirit, all right? Now, I am not going to let my mind control what it is that God has told me to do. My body is flesh. This thing is going to die. It's going to wither away at the end of a life, and my soul is going to go and be with Jesus. Now, I need to know what God wants for me in this life. And that means that I've got to put under my flesh, and I've got to say, I'm sick of being weak. I'm sick of not having enough energy. I'm going to move on. How old are you now, Luis? 90 yesterday. Happy birthday. And this woman gets around, man. She's like up and down. She's everywhere. I want to be like you when I get older. Honestly, she has, and I know you, you speak the word. You love Jesus. This woman is a beautiful picture of strength in our physical body, but it's because her soul is empowered, it's strengthened, and I know she's with Jesus on a daily basis. Listen, we have our source to our strength, and his name is Jesus. We can lift weights and we can do everything we need to do. And I do believe that we do need to line our bodies up with health along with the word, because I believe that these are our temples, and God tells us to take care of our temples, that these are the temples of God. And what I don't want to house God in something that I'm not proud of. Okay? So you're going, oh man, listen, you started by fasting. Okay? So just keep, maybe do like, listen, do a couple jumpy jacks a day and then add on to it the next day, or figure something out for yourself. Go walk around your neighborhood. Begin to do what it is you don't feel like doing. That's what this is about. Getting over our weakness. He says, allow me to be your strength. In verse 11, it says, strengthen your bones. It was funny, I went to the doctor and they were telling me, you know, you're 35 now and you need to start taking calcium on a daily basis. And I'm like, really, we're having this talk? Really? And I was just like, all right. And they're like, you need to go get the chew things, you need to take two a day, and da-da-da. And I'm like, all right. And not kidding you, did I just hit my computer and break my toe? And I was like, dang it, I wasn't taking my calcium. And you know what? That little toe hurts bad, and I need my bones to be strong. If my bones were strong, if I would have prepared my body, I probably would not have broken my little toe, right? Listen, God is saying, let him be the strength to our bones. It's a beautiful visual of what it is he is for us. Our bones are what make us. They are what straighten us out, and I know, Pastor Jess, straighten up. Please don't tell me I know. 50 people tell me all the time. I'm working on it, okay? But your spine has bones in it, your bones, your arms have bone in it, and you would not be able to move your arms, right, if you didn't have bones in your hands, in your arms, right? So when you break your bone, what happens? That part of your body is out of commission, okay? God is saying, I don't want any part of you to be out of commission. You need to be on your full game. So allow me to be like strength to your bones. Allow me to be that source that stays within you, that is strong and strengthens from you from the inside out. Does that make sense? We cannot see our bones, right? Unless you break them, and that's not good. That's really gross when you see a bone sticking out. But when they are in our bodies, they're covered by flesh, they're covered by muscle, they're covered by all the things that happen inside of our bodies, right? But they're there. And they're what strengthen us. They're what get us moving. This is why I can move my legs and I can jump up and down, okay? That is because I am now built. God created me, and that's what he's asked me to do. Now he's saying, I'm asking you, because I told you to follow me. I told you to be satisfied and draw, right? But then I need to also be that strength to your bones. I need to be that strength to your life. I need to be your backbone. I need to be the thing that you know that you can rely on. You may not be able to see me, but I'm there. You may not be able to know that that's what is happening in your body, but I'm already doing what it is that I need to do. And you need to begin to feed your spirit, man, and I will begin to strengthen you from the inside out. Allow God to be strength to our bones. Allow him to get our back, girls. He's got our back, and he has our best intentions for us. God says in, oh, I love this verse. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. I just love this, love this. You say, what happens in a pastor's home? Well, we kind of preach to each other all the time. And so Dan and I were talking about this, and I was just like, you know, babe, this is just such a great verse for me. Because I've been feeling really sick. I was getting over bronchitis last week, and I was really fighting against like not having energy and just feeling really weak. Even Monday, I was really almost down for the count, and I just kept reading this and going, no, I have strength to my bones, and God is my strength, and I'm gonna. And I was just fighting all day, and then so Dan and I began to talk, and he said, let's go to 1 Samuel. So this is from Pastor Dan. He showed this to me in 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. I'm gonna start there. Now it happened when David and his men of Ziklag, on the third day, the Amalekites invaded the south of Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. Okay? This is a city that he's over. It is now burning with fire, verse 2. And had taken captive the women and those that were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So not only did they burn the city, but they took everybody with them. Okay? Pretty devastating, don't you think? That's kind of a time of drought. Verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Verse 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more to weep. Have you ever been in that position? Remember, I don't know if you were here when I talked about that, the sowing in tears, that message when you just cry, just believe that you're planting a seed for something to come forth. Here's David, he's weeping before God. He's broken, he's in a dry place, he's not in a good spot right now. If we saw our city on fire and all of your husbands and children were gone when you got home today, how would you feel? That is what he walked into. Okay, verse 5. And David's two wives, Ahiman and... I'm going to move on. And Abigail, the widow of Nabal, and the Carmelite had been taken captive. Now, I just love David. He did have a lot of wives. I'm going to talk to God about that when we get to heaven. Okay. It's a little weird. Okay, verse 6. Now, David was greatly distressed from people, and they spoke of stoning him. Okay, so now all of a sudden, they're looking to David and going, it's your fault. You're the leader. This is all your fault. And they want to stone him. Okay, let's say you get home and your neighbors are like, it was you that left your curling iron on, and now this is your fault, we're going to stone you. I mean, you would be like, oh my gosh, okay, I'm sorry, you know. So this is David, he's in this position, everybody wants to hurt him, okay? Now David was greatly distressed, verse 6, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and his daughters, but David strengthened himself in God. So David didn't turn to fear, he didn't turn to worry, he didn't turn to his own plan, he didn't do any of that, right? He went straight to the source. He went straight to where his strength came from. He went straight to the person who has the answers. What a good man, what a man of God. Verse 7, then David said to Abihail the priest and Abimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abner brought ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? So he's asking God, here's a plan. Is this a good plan? Okay, so he's asking God for direction. And he answers him and says, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. And then if you go further in the story, that is exactly what happened. Listen, he went to the strength of his resource, who is Jesus. Then Jesus gave him the plan, right? God gave him the plan. And what happened? He overtook, he got back every wife, every daughter. They were all restored back. All was restored to him. Listen, you are in a position where you cannot afford to not go to the resource. You cannot. I cannot. We cannot. You know, listen, girls, I have come to new levels of faith in the past couple of years, learning how to lead this church and looking at, you know, employees and finances and new ministries and all those things. I have to get in faith because when you look at it, you go, what? Are you kidding me? We are fish and loaves here. God has done some pretty amazing miracles at this church. People look at this building and go, you must have it all. No, we have faith. We have a whole lot of stinking faith. And we got a whole lot of widow's mites that God blesses and pours out on and is abundant and so faithful. And I am so grateful for that. We are a miracle, girls. The Rock Church and World Outreach Center is a miracle. But I cannot do this without tapping in to the one who is my resource, who strengthens my bones, who is the one that guides us, the one who protects us, the one that shows us which path to go down. Now listen, we can do this, you can do this. He is not a respecter of persons. He knows exactly what it is in your hand. He knows exactly what it is you need to believe for. He knows exactly what it is you need to take that next step of faith in. Listen, David did not weaken under pressure. Women of God, don't you dare weaken under pressure. Don't you dare give the enemy place. Don't you dare put up your arms, throw up your swords and your shields and say, we're going to battle because I am not going to let you have my kids. I'm not going to let you have my joy. I'm not going to let you have my husband. I'm not going to let you have my finances. I'm not going to let you have my joy. I'm not going to let you weaken my ability to believe God, because when you lose faith, you lose hope. Girls, do not lose faith. in the one who is your strength and your resource, because God has a plan for you and I. And the last one, you guys getting something from God today? Verse 11, it's my favorite part of this. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. They just keep going and going and going and going. We go up to the mountains usually once a year to an area called Mammoth. If you have never taken a trip there, it is a great road trip. It's about 5 hours away. You can hike everything you can think of, good hikes, little hikes, big hikes, whatever you want to do. There's a million lakes. It's a great place for your family. And we go there as a family. And every time we go there, I'm not kidding you, you just get out in nature. Have you ever done that? And it's just like God just speaks to you. And we hiked back. My mom actually grew up in the Owens Valley. Now, she went from L.A. down Santa Monica with like millions of people, and then she was bad. And so her parents moved her to the Owens Valley with 12 graduating students in her high school. So she had to become this totally different, like, risk taker. And it was her and her brother. And they would go off-roading. They would go into the back hills of the woods. And there's desert and woods there. So you can go to the desert, and then you can go out and drive out into the woods. And so she took us to the backside of Yosemite. It's only open in the months of summer. So the backside is only open in the months of the summer because the rest of the time it's like full of snow. So we decided to go to this place called Tuolumne Meadows. And we hike back and we're like jumping over rocks. And my dad did that with a bad back. He's pretty amazing. And we sat there like literally the whole day because this massive stream was like coming down these rocks. And these rocks are granite. You know, like you have on your countertops? Well, some of you, I would like to have granite countertops. But it's that gorgeous where it just like runs and the water just like, it's amazing. So where it's dark, where the granite is dark, it's warm. And then there's like little pools and the kids are like playing and swimming in the pools. It was just ridiculous, really ridiculous. And I'm like, this is heaven. This is what heaven's going to be like. You know, I mean, you just start going there because it's just so gorgeous. And you just have to bask in the goodness and the beauty of God. That, while we were there, did that river stop? No, the river did not stop. There was like cascades of water flowing, and it never stopped. I went back the next year. Guess what? The river was still flowing. I go back this year, it's still going to be flowing. God says that he has called us to continue on, to never stop. You don't have to fail. You keep flowing. You keep moving. You keep running. You keep going forward. You don't stop. And he is promising that to us, like a well-watered garden. I don't know about you, but I am really bad with, like, plants. Like, really, 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 really bad. Like, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law always go check out my garden, and I'm very embarrassed. Because it's bad. So I just kill everything. I don't know why. But I have managed to keep some things alive in the front of the house. I don't know how that happened, but thank you, Jesus. And so Dan and I are like committed to water these plants in the front of the house. So every morning we go out and we give a little water to them. Now one of these trees, I should have brought it. I might bring it for tonight. One of the trees has like moss in the tree and it's always moist, which I love because if I forget to water that plant, it's never dry or looking all wilted like the rest of them out there. That one is always like, hi, I'm happy and life is good. And I love this plant because I'm like, you are awesome. And so I think that God is saying that to us. We don't have to be the dry, wilted out ones, but we can always be the life-giving ones, the ones that are perky and happy, and the ones that don't always need a million buckets of water because we are constantly just always in the Word. We're constantly always with our King. We're constantly always in communication. So we are just getting that resource, and God is just going to begin to supply life through us and out of us. We are like a well-watered garden. What a beautiful picture of God's majesty. In Ephesians 3:11 through 12, it says, according to the eternal purpose which he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through him in faith. Listen, be confident in him. Do not be confident, that's number four, do not be confident in your own ability, but be confident in his ability. His ability says, you're a well-watered garden. His ability says that you are like a spring that never fails. That's what his word says, so be confident in it. If we were confident in who it is he says that we are to be, right, what would we do? What risk would we take? If you knew you could not fail, what would you do? It's kind of an interesting question, huh? I don't know. I mean, I would probably tell more people about Jesus because I wouldn't feel like afraid that I was going to be rejected. You know? Maybe I would start a new business that's been on my heart that I know God has been talking to me about, but I'm just kind of not going there because I don't know. You know, it's me. Well, hello, are you a well-watered garden? Are you a spring that's running forth that never ends? I mean, if that's you, right? Because that's what he's saying. Does the word lie? God doesn't lie, right? No. So if he's saying that about you, why can't you start that business? Maybe you would go back to Bible college because you just love the word of God, but you know, I don't have the money. Wait a second. If it's on your heart, the Holy Spirit must be prompting you to do it, then he's going to provide a way for you to get it done. Listen, I believe that God wants us to be confident women of God, not beat down, busted, and disgusted, not what our society tells us to be, not, you know, according to what the government thinks that we fall into. Listen, enough of that. We are women of God. We are daughters of the Most High God. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who wants to feed us and equip us and fill us and strengthen our bones. So let's be that water, that well-watered garden. Let's be that stream that never runs dry, that never fails. Be confident in who we are in Christ. Be the women God's asked us to be. I believe that God has something bigger and better for us, and that he's asking us to take a confidence and to be content in him, to know who he is and take a step of faith. And if you got something from God today, let's give him a hand. Lord, we love you, God. Isaiah 58:11 says, God, that you will guide us, that you will satisfy us in drought, that you will strengthen our bones, that, Lord, that we will be women that are like well-watered gardens, like springs of living waters that do not fail. Lord, we commit our lives to you, God. Lord, we honor you with our lives. All we have, God, is our life, so we sacrifice it to you. Lord, guide us, direct us, fill us, equip us, strengthen us, Lord. Help us to be confident and content. Lord, help us to know who we are. Lord, we pray that this word would go deep down into our hearts and change us from the inside out. And Lord, that we would be better together than we are apart. Lord, we thank you for blessings on our families, on our lives, and on our futures. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.